He comes to the cafe. He seeks me out and he says the following story. He says, Pastor Greg, I just had to come tell you that this morning during the call for salvation, I gave my heart back to my mother. And he begins to share a story that while he was a teenager, he got very upset with his mother and father because of the rules. He said they had crazy rules like having a curfew, like having to get a job, like having to start paying for my car payment. And he said, I chose to let that be an offense in me. And I let that offense grow until it began to be a wedge in my heart that caused me to leave home at about 17, 18 years old. And he said, for years, I have lived estranged from the family. For years, I have avoided Mother's Day and birthdays and anniversaries. He said, this last week, he was asleep one night and he had a nightmare. And in this nightmare, he felt like he had heard this voice that said, I am the Lord thy God, and it is time for you to stop running. And it is time to go home and to give your heart to your mother and to give your heart to me. He woke up out of a cold sweat, and he knew that meant for him, after all these years away from his home, away from his mother and father, that he would have to reconnect. And so he came this weekend back to reconnect with his mother and his father. And he said, I'm sorry if I embarrassed you while I was crying, but even as you were giving the altar call, I thought about that day I needed to make things right with my mom. And not only did I need to make things right with my mom, but in the dream, it said that I needed to make my heart right with my father. And it was more than my earthly father. It was my heavenly father. And he said, Pastor Greg, would you lead me in the prayer of salvation? Because I'm not sure if I did it right during the service. But I want to be able to tell my mom today at lunch that not only is my heart back in this family, and not only do I want to make my heart right with her, but today in church, I made my heart right with Jesus Christ, and he is my Lord and my Savior. Is that an awesome Mother's Day present? And so those are the kind of things that you and I can begin to expect to happen in our lives when we prioritize prayer. And when we use prayer to prioritize what God said was his priority, and that's that none should perish, then friend, get ready. Because miraculous, supernatural things begin to happen. I got an email from him this evening. And he sent me an email. And he said, Pastor Greg, I want to share a cool verse with you that I was reading this week. He said, I don't know if you've ever read this before. In the email he said, but it goes kind of like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wrote him back and said, I've heard of that verse. Great verse. I asked him, what did it mean to you? And he said, what it means to me is that he died on the cross for my sins, and I'm no longer perishing in that sin. That, friend, is what it's all about. Do you just feel your faith rising? Do you just begin to believe that maybe even your things, when Scripture says all things, maybe it even includes your things? All things are possible with God. So I want to encourage you, take time every day, break out your Fab Five list, begin to call them by name, begin to speak blessing over them, begin to pray for opportunities to connect to them and to fellowship with them and to encourage them. Begin to pray that the Holy Spirit would make you sensitive in that time that you talk with them with what to do and what to say. Because who knows, maybe it will be some of your loved ones that will catch us this Sunday morning in the cafe, and maybe it will be their story we'll share next Wednesday night. So everybody said, amen. So how many of you set your dial to supernatural? All things are possible? How about your things? All right. How many of you have a gas stove in your house? How many of you know it can be very dangerous if you just turn it on and for whatever reason it doesn't ignite? That's the key to praying. We've got to not just turn on the prayers, but we've got to ignite those prayers with a passion and with intention to reaching the lost. And I said, Lord, start with my family. And so tonight we hope he started in yours. I've asked John Boone to share tonight. He is one of my favorite teachers. I've invited him to come and share on the subject of prayer. And so would you welcome John as he comes now and teaches Bible study this evening.
Thank you, Pastor. I like that little look when you looked back there and said prayer. But yes, it's going to be about prayer, and that's, I guess, my favorite subject, one of my favorite subjects, if not the favorite subject I have. I have one little thing I want to add to Bill. If I have to do the limbo Saturday, before I do it on Friday night, I have a bull out in my pasture. We've been thinking about selling him as a bucking bull, but we don't know if he'll buck yet. So if you'll ride the bull, I'll do the limbo. That's fine. If he don't buck, we'll cook him. gotta find some use for him, and that'll be good. I knew someone would be able to do that for me, Bill, and I just had that revelation tonight that Bill's the man. If he can do the limbo, don't you think if he can do the limbo, he can do that? Okay. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me the honor of teaching in this congregation. I don't think I've ever in my life been any place in my ministry, 40 years of ministry, that I feel any more respected and honored than I have sitting in the ministry here at Dominion. I have something I'd like to hand out, if I may. Someone asked me if I had handouts, and I told them I didn't, but I really do. I forgot about them. But it's a prayer that God gave me concerning Dominion Church several months ago, and I gave Pastor a copy of it. And I would like for everyone to have a copy of that, if you would. I've printed them for you. If you'll just take it, it's not going to be used tonight. If you just take it and set it aside and give you some guidelines as to some things that I feel are important as we pray for Dominion Church. And I believe that God has a special destiny and purpose for this ministry. And I believe it all begins with prayer. I think prayer is the most essential thing that we do or need to do in our life today. Prayer has to become a number one priority in our life. I want to talk about that tonight. I want to give you some thoughts. I have some things that I've listed here that I'm going to begin with. If you want to make some notes, I'll go as deliberately as I can. I want to talk about some essential things about prayer. And prayer became a part of my life many, many years ago before I ever began my ministry. I realized the necessity of it and how essential it was to the success of what. You know, you can be successful in many things, and you can be successful in the ministry, but you can't be successful in doing and pursuing the will and destiny of God without prayer in your life. And it's the one thing that probably is the easiest thing for us to leave off at times in our life because we get in such a hurry. We have to become the place that it becomes a priority in our life, that we don't miss the opportunities to pray and to minister before God. And I want you to hear some things that God gave me over the last few days to be able to teach from tonight. Number one, prayer comes from recognizing our needs go beyond our abilities. How many of you know that without God, there are a lot of things in our life that are impossible? And it's of a great necessity in our life that we have learned in our life to be able to go to God and minister before Him in prayer and understand that prayer is a vehicle of reaching into the supernatural ability of God on behalf of our needs. We find in the historical sense from the Old Testament that prayer came out of an intense need of three things. Those three things are pardon, purity, and blessing. This need was there because of the law, and the result of these needs was bondage in their life, and they needed to be set free. And it was only through these things that they could come with prayer and find forgiveness for those things in their life and bring the blessings of God back into their life. Moving over into the New Testament, you don't mind, I'm going to sit right here on your stool, Pastor, just hold me up. In the New Testament, prayer focuses on all of these same things, but it's more about relationship than anything else, and understanding that in that relationship, we experience all that we have need based upon a Father's love for us. And then the third thing is, prayer then is a communication of relationship that is only understood by a New Testament principle known as adoption. And I want you to turn with me for a scripture tonight in Romans, the 8th chapter. One of my favorite verses of scripture. In fact, I love to just spend time in the book of Romans. But I want you to read this with me, if you would. Turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, if you have your Bibles, and read along with us. God Go with us to the 14th verse. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him." So we understand from these scriptures, in this New Testament relationship we have, it's important that prayer, it becomes the communication between a father and a son, or a father and a daughter, a father and a child. And it makes a big difference in that from the Old Testament, where we dealt with the bondage of the law. We were in bondage to the law. We're walking in a new day that we have the grace of God. It is in that relationship that we are empowered by acts of a father's love that include the pardon, the purity, and the blessing that God has for us. And this desire was there because not of the law, but because of God's grace. The fifth thing, as New Testament believers are motivated by relationship to pray, Jesus teaches us about prayer in Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 5th verse, goes through the 15th verse. He begins his example in prayer in verse 9. He says, "Our Father." So it's so important that we understand that prayer essentially has to have and is built around a relationship in our life. It's so important. It means so much to be able to go to God. It means so much more to go to him and experience in an intimate way a relationship with the Father. Matthew's Gospel says, "Our Father." The earliest record of God being referred to as our Father is found in the previous chapter in verse 16. We don't have that record in the Old Testament, where we have in he's recognized as Father. It's found in the New Testament beginning in the 5th chapter and the 16th verse of the book of Matthew's Gospel. And so we enter into a relationship, and our relationship with God as our Father. It is by revelation of the Spirit that we recognize the revelation of the relationship, and by prayer it is consummated, and by prayer it is developed as prayer and our means of communication. And then the 7th thing, it is by prayer that we turn our attention to God the Father, not only that we may tell him about us, not so much about telling him about us. You know, most of the time prayer, and we were talking about a little bit in our prayer meeting last night, our intercessor prayer time, most of the time prayer, when we pray, it's about us. How many of you pray about you? And I would say that most of your prayer is about you. Most of the time when I talk to God and I begin to minister to God, I'm guilty of the same thing, that essentially what I want to talk to God is about me. I want to minister before God, but I want him to know about me, not and really understanding and knowing that God knows more about me than I know about myself. And so it's important to know that prayer is more than coming to God about you. Prayer brings us into a relationship with God, and the communication that we have, and not only about communicating, it's all right to communicate. I communicate God my needs every day of my life. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is I begin to pray. I begin to communicate to God. And I would like to say that every morning of my life that I get up and I start praying, that I start by saying and worshiping him and telling him and receiving from him about who he is. I would like to be able to say that, but most often as not, I get up, Pastor, and I start talking about, "Well, God, today, you know, I need this and I need that, and this is where I'm at, and it's all about me." And we're guilty about that in most relationships, if we're really honest and admit to ourselves that we are. We're guilty of that in most of our relationships when we want to talk with and communicate with someone. We're more interested about who we are, and we want them to know about us than we are to know about them. How many are guilty of that? And sometimes that prohibits, and most often prohibits us from really moving into the relationship that we need with that person. You know, and one of the most intimate relationships that we have on this earth is the relationship of a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. And I take example of the relationship that I have with my wife. And she's a one-track person. When she wants to talk, she wants your undivided attention. She don't want you watching ESPN by any means. If the ball game's on, she's not interested. She just wants to talk. She tells me all the time, "I got to get you to a place where I can set you down where there's nothing else around, that you'll sit and look at me and talk to me." And she wants that relationship. And most women are like that. How many women are like that? When you want to talk to your husband, and how many men can double task at the same time? I can watch I can watch the Astros and talk to her at the same time. You know? But that's not what she wants. And am I getting on territory that I should not be getting in tonight? Am I? I hope I'm not in trouble, but I may be. I don't know. I don't normally talk about my wife when I come up here because I'll beware I don't get in trouble when I get home. But it's important in the relationship of communication to understand her and to know her and to communicate. And I have to admit, and if every man in here would admit, when they're watching the Astros or whoever your favorite team is on television, or if you're all involved in the Super Bowl or something like that and your wife's talking, there's probably a couple of details you probably missed. You wouldn't admit it. You wouldn't even begin to admit that you missed it, but you'd try to kind of sweep over it a little bit, and you would miss it because you've not focused on where you need to be focused in building the relationship with that spouse. And it's with anybody else, a friend or whatever, when you're talking to them, they have something they need to tell you. They want you to hear the details of it. And you're the same way. When you talk, you have details you want to talk about. You want to share the details. It's the same way in the relationship with God the Father. And I like that term, Father. It brings and reveals to us such an intimacy. You know, we talk about, and we just had Mother's Day, and my mother and I had a unique relationship, but my father was a special person in my life, and we had a special relationship, and I knew enough about him and had an intimate relationship with him that I was able to trust him, and I could come to him with anything. And it's so important in our relationship with God that we do understand that he is God the Father. And that's not just there because he wanted to put it there. It's because he wanted us to understand the depth of relationship that we have with God. And so when we come to prayer, the first thing that Jesus says in his example about prayer, come and say, Our Father. Everybody say, Our Father. And he didn't just say that we might have it in extra words in the Bible. He said it because it has such depth of meaning in the relationship that we have formed and that we have entered into a relationship with God, that we can walk in a place that God wants us to be and be and have the pardon and the blessing and all the things that we desire in our life we have through our Father. You know, that's one of the things that we need to understand as fathers tonight. I know Father's Day is several weeks away, but understand the biggest role model in your child's life is that of a father. The nurturing process comes more through the mother, but the role model is the father. And when you allow yourself to be called father by a child, you have taken on a tremendous responsibility because we are to image the Father that we know as God the Father, and that we're to reveal the Father to the sons and to the daughters that are in our life. And it's important that we have that. But the relationship of prayer is so important that when we go to prayer, we're not going under the bondage of the law anymore. We're going under the grace of a relationship that we have with God the Father. And as we enter into that relationship with God the Father, it means so much more and has so much more freedom to it than going under the bondage of the law that we see in the Old Testament, that God has given to us this new and living way in the New Testament that we have a relationship. So prayer, essentially, the number one thing in our prayer life is that we understand that we're in a relationship with the one that we're praying to. And I want you to go with me over in the Old Testament. This is the bulk of what I want you to hear tonight. Why don't you go with me a story in the Old Testament, in the book of Job. And I guess for the purposes of tonight, you can pick any chapter you want because I'm going to go through the whole book. How long did you say I had, Pastor? Oh, 5 more minutes? Put this thing in high gear and put the speed button on. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, we're going to go to the 42nd chapter. We're going to go to the end of the book. And I'm good about that. When I'm reading, I like to try to get to the end of the book as fast as I can to understand what's going on. But there's a story here that as we begin in the story in the first chapter of the book of Job. Now, Job is full of praying. There are a lot of prayers in Job, and I was going through this over the last couple of weeks, and I was reading Job, and I got tired of all the praying that was going on in there, all the things that were being said. But there's a lot of praying from Job and from some of his friends and people who came to see him and visit with him. There's a lot of praying, a lot of things about prayer in the book of Job. The Bible starts out, and it talks about Job being such a great man. He was a man of great substance. He was a great man, a man of great character and integrity. And a man that the Bible says that he loved God and he hated evil. And it begins with a man that's on top of the world, and walks in a relationship with God where he is so blessed. He has more than anybody in the land. Nobody was any wealthier. Nobody was more blessed than Job was and at this time in his life. And all of a sudden, and most of you know the story, and we're not going to get into all the details of it because we want to get to the end of the book so we can finish and we can see what happens. But throughout this book, we see the fall of all that Job had. He lost everything. He lost all of the substance that he had. Instead of being the wealthiest man, he became the poorest man in the land. He lost his family, his friends, all the relationships he had were gone. Everything was gone. And as we move to the end of the chapter, after all of the time, the things that went on, the praying by all the comforters. How many of you have had comforters like Job to come into your life and pray for you? Wish you'd have never seen or heard of them. There have been a few. And so when you get through the book and you see all this going on and all this, I'm going to call it rhetoric going on, nothing accomplished, we get to the end of the book and Job starts in the last chapter of the book. He's decided he's going to talk to God. Amen? He's going to pray. He's going to really do some praying and he's going to talk to God. So his approach to God was, God, I need you to show up and I need to talk to you and I need to explain to you who I am. And that's one of the places where we become most guilty in our life is we want God to show up so I can show God who I am and tell him all about me, all about my troubles and why I shouldn't be going through what I'm going through and why I should be more blessed than I am. And all of us have walked that pathway. There are times in my life, I have to admit, I'd really like to talk to God about this situation. I wish he would come sit right in that chair and he would listen to John Boone and I would explain to him that I should be more blessed, that things shouldn't be the way they are. How many of you have been there and done that? Everybody but Pastor, I'm sure, he lives in heaven and works on earth once in a while. That's what they say, isn't it? And most people believe that. He flies in. It's Job saying to God, can you believe that a man would actually do that? I really have never done that, I promise. I have more fear of God than that. But Job was demanding that God show up so Job could have a conversation with him, a communication with him. That communication is called prayer because that's what prayer is. It's a communication between man and God. And he wanted Job to show up, or God to show up so he could have this communication with him and tell him all about it and explain to him how it ought to be. So God just sits there and listens to Job. How many of you know that God hears everything you say? That's what my mama told me. And so I've always been pretty careful about what I said, even in secret. But he wanted God to hear what he had to say about himself. And that's important. There are times in places of destitution and places of trial and difficulty, places in life that you need God, you need someone to listen. I'm telling you, God will listen to you. There's never been a time in the day of my trouble that I really went to God and talked to him about all my troubles. I didn't really feel that God was listening. He didn't do something about it all the time because I didn't understand it all the time. But he always listened. And so Job went through this thing. So elaborate prayer that he prayed and talking about how, God, you need to show up. I need to speak to you. And he went through all this process. I don't think Job ever thought for a moment that God was really actually going to show up just like he did. I figured that Job thought, well, maybe somewhere in the process of all this, God is hearing my prayer and things are going to change in my life and I'm going to have all my camels back, all my sheep, my family's going to be restored and everything's going to be good, that Job thought it would just happen. And sometimes that's the way when we go to prayer, we think things are just going to happen because we showed up and decided that we had to have conversation with God. And it's not going to happen that way, church. It's going to happen when we first enter into the relationship. Remember, Jesus started the prayer, our Father. You know, it's before anything, before any battle. You know, what would happen if before every battle we prayed ahead of time? See, we want to wait till we get in the battle and get to the place of destitution, but because we know that God's going to hear us and answer us in some way, and we want to wait till we go through the battle and get to a certain point, and then we'll say, God, what happened? Here we are in this place of destitution. But everything that we do, there's nothing that is enacted in the realm of spiritual happenings in our life that is not affected by how we pray. You know, praise is an important part of our life. I can't emphasize enough about praise, and that's one of the aspects that drew us to this church was the anointed praise and worship that we experienced when we came into the doors of this church almost 3 years ago now. And that was one of the things that blessed us, the preaching and teaching of the Word, a lot of things. But the first thing that we knew when we came in the door was the act of praise and worship in this church. And we often think that that's what comes first. Praise doesn't come first. Prayer comes first. Amen? Praise is born out of that communication of prayer where we have a relationship with God the Father. And that perfects the praise that's in us because we have the communication of who He is. See, Job didn't really know God like he thought he knew Him. And I find out oftentimes in my own personal life, even now after all these years, that I didn't know Him as well as I thought I knew Him, but I'm perfecting that relationship of prayer. And I'm learning more and more. I've learned more over the last few years of my life to listen more than I talk. That's hard for me. Some of you may think I'm not much of a talker, but get me talking about the right subjects, and I'll be glad to talk. And if not, I'll get my wife involved. That woman can talk now. But it is, yeah, she's game. No worries. She's not going to kill me when I get home. But it is important that when we come to any aspect of our life and relation, studying the Word, pray that you might understand. When you come to praise and worship, pray that it comes out of a heart of relationship that you've established in your time of prayer. See, it's our Father which art in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's essential that through prayer, prayer is the only way that we have of releasing the will of God in our life, in our church, in our ministry, and what we're doing on this earth. It's the one thing, you know, and I don't want to wander around here, but I want you to understand how I feel about prayer, but not how I feel about prayer so much. Is how God feels about prayer. There should never be a day in your life that you don't set time aside to spend with God the Father. I think about my relationship with my Father and all the great times of communication I had with Him. I wish He was here today. He's gone. He died just a few years ago. And I lost my Father. But those times of building relationships with Him and communicating Him were so important. And in building a relationship, it's important that you set yourself some quality time aside. See, we want to build, you know, again, let's go back. Jackie, thank you for being here. Let me use you so much tonight. Darling, I love you. Building a relationship with Jackie in our husband and wife relationship, it's important that we do spend that time together in communication and that we do understand one another, that we get to know one another, that we don't plan our life so jam full of activity that we don't have time to spend to one another. You know, and we're both, especially Jackie with her job, very busy, but we have to take that special time and set time aside where no one else is around, nothing else is involved. We have set that quality time aside to spend time that we build our relationship, and that's important to do that. How much more important? Do you think God is pleased when we think, well, I got to run, I got to get on the road, and I'm not discrediting it because I pray when I drive. God only knows I have to pray when I drive. And you probably should be praying too when I drive. Jackie prays when I drive. My kids pray when I drive. Especially when I have the grandkids with me. So I do. I pray. I pray when I get out. I got where I get out. Most days I get out and I'll walk for quite a while. I'm trying to learn what it is to exercise at this point in life. It may be a little late. I don't know. But I'm trying. And I pray. I just get out and I just talk to God. There's also that time that I set myself aside from everything. I'm not talking about an hour. It may be 15, 20 minutes. It's not about time. Do you understand? It's not about time. It's about the quality of time that you spend together. And I set time aside. I don't have a cell phone with me. I'm not near a computer. I'm not near anything that can become a distraction for me in my life. Because it's so important that I'm developing a relationship with God the Father. Not that I can tell Him about me. I'm not talking about telling Him about me. God already knows where you are. God knows your problems. He knows your needs. He knows everything about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. That's why He brings you to the place in your life sometimes to show you where you are and show things in your life that you're not even aware about. Attitudes and actions in your life that come about because you don't know about them of the heart. So it's important that you go to God and you set time aside that you can come and learn about Him. Thank God for His Word. His Word is, I'm a Word person. I love the Word of God. I've spent, like I said, the last 40 years of my life studying this Word. I read it, I study it, and I have a passion for this Word, Pastor. I love to sit in here. You could preach all day. It wouldn't bother me. I love to hear the Word. It's that important to my life. And I enjoy it. That's another thing that I enjoy about being in Dominion is the Word spoken and preached in this place. And so the Word is an essential part of our life also. But I can bring to you tonight multitudes of men that are called theologians that could stand in this house today and take the Word and break the Word down to you like you've never heard. But the problem is they have no relationship with the author of the Word. They have no relationship with the Father that you have to develop a relationship with. You know, there are people that know more about you physically, doctors, lawyers, whatever, about needs in your life, but don't understand you, that really can't help you. And it's understand that we know the Word is an important part of our life. Well, the Bible says you should know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And it talks about studying the Word, that we need to be students of the Word. But more than any of that, we need to understand that we have to come into a relationship with God the Father in prayer. And then the Word becomes alive. It's not just a logos. It's just not words that are on the pages of this Bible. It becomes a living part of our life because we have a relationship with the author. And we understand and we know more about Him. We don't need a theologian for that. We need time alone with God. We need to separate ourselves for the purposes of prayer at times. I'm not telling you much time to spend. That's between you and God. I'm not here to dictate that. I'm not here. Years ago, they brought it out that you had to pray an hour a day. And I heard a story one time about a young man who was in a home for the mentally handicapped. And he stayed in his room for a long time. Didn't come out of his room. Stayed there most of the afternoon. He came out to the desk where the nurse was, and he says, you know, he said, I know the Bible says pray without ceasing, but he said, I got to stop sometimes. And so, you know, sometimes we try to dictate times and efforts, but it's not about time. It's about the attitude of our heart that we come into a place that we've given God quality time of our life, that we come into a relationship with Him, God the Father. Get carried away here with some of this stuff. I don't know if they got a trap door up here or not, but I'll move around. But it is important. What happened to Job here? Job undoubtedly was a praying man. Undoubtedly, from the first page, the first chapter, and the first verse of the book of Job, we will understand that Job was a man who loved God and that he was a man of prayer. That's important to know. But there's something missing in Job's life that he finds at the end of his life, toward the end of his life, when all this restoration came about. And I want you to go with me to the 42nd chapter, if you will. This is the heart of what I want you to see. Two things. Beginning first, verse 1, 42, verse 1. It says, Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. See, God finally showed up. Not exactly the way Job wanted Him to show up at His beck and call, but He showed up in His timing, and He showed up with His own purposes. And Job said, I know these things. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? And therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Boy, Job is really being bold with God right here, isn't he? Being somewhat forceful. Then he reveals what really has happened. And he said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of my ear. And if you go back into and study the original text, you'll understand that what Job is saying, I have heard, and I have responded out of what I have heard. In other words, the law was written, thou shalt do this, and I have responded, thou shalt do this. The law was written that this is the way this has to be, and I have ordered my life according to what I have heard, according to the law of God, and I have lived according. And he did. God recognized that when Satan presented himself before God. And he said, if you looked at my servant Job, how great a man he is, a man of integrity who hates evil. And all of that was born out of a relationship to the law of God. And all of a sudden he said, I've heard thee with the hearing of my ear. And he said, I've done everything I've known to do in response to what I have heard in the letter of the law that I have before me. And then he says this, but now my eye sees. The perception of who God really was. I think Job saw things way before his time. He saw things that others could not see. He said, I have heard about you, and I have lived and ordered my life according to what I have heard. But he said, now my life changes because now I see, I have a perception of who you really are. And that came out of a relationship to prayer that Job had when truly in his heart he sought God. And I'm telling you, the revelation that we need today is not about the do's and don'ts of law, but about the relationship that is born out of grace that God gives us, that we can come into a relationship with God the Father. And so when we go and pray, I've been guilty of it, you've been guilty of it. There are times we pray just strictly out of the letter. We try to approach God out of the letter of the law, so to speak. And we try to build our relationship, and we try to bring results based upon that prayer. And then we wonder why God doesn't answer. Because we haven't approached Him out of the relationship that He desires and wants for our life. Everything that God has for us comes by that relationship. It doesn't come by the law. The law taught us some things, and the law was good in itself and its purposes. But God doesn't respond to us out of the law. He responds to us out of the grace that He has given to us to bring a revelation of who He is. And He intensified that understanding when He said, I am your Father. Understand that I am your Father. And that out of the grace of who I am and what I feel for you, I will release the blessings. I will release the pardon. I will release you from the guilt. I will release you and into the blessings that I have for you. Why? Because the law says it? No. And Job realized all of a sudden that it was more blessed. He was more blessed in all of his days. As this chapter ends, it talks about him having more than he'd ever had. It wasn't about the substance of things. The thing that he had more than anything else was he had entered into a new age, a new time of relationship with God. He understood God all of a sudden. He had a relationship with Him. He heard God, and he said, I've heard you with the hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees. I have a new perception about who you are. Now, that is so essential to releasing the blessings of God in your life when you pray. So when you go to pray tomorrow, go into the relationship area. Don't go into the law. Don't try to take, you know, things that I believe in God for. That word says that by His stripes I'm healed. And I confess that every day of my life. I'm actually going through a time of physical need in my life that I never dreamed that I would have to go through. It's a crippling thing. And every day I rise, Pastor, and I say, I deny it's right in my body. Not by just simply what the word says. Thank God for the word that says, by His stripes, what? I am healed. And I say that every day of my life. By His stripes, I am healed. But more than that, by the grace of God, I am healed. By the grace of God's love and the power of His love as my Father, I am healed by that grace. The law is not going to heal me. The grace of God, the power, the law is not going to save my family. We talk about these, and I have those five names that I pray for daily, Pastor, my life. It's not going to be the law. Thank God for what the law accomplished, but it's not going to be the law of understanding that we're going to see those people saved, but it's going to be by the relationship of the grace of the Father that's going to bring to us in our life the salvation of our loved ones. Whatever needs you have, whatever things you have need of in your own life, it's not going to be by just simply And I believe in the confession of my faith. Again, I say it every day. I confess God's power, the authority of God's Word over my life every day. I pray the Word over my life. Pray the Word over my home, my family, my children, my grandchildren. It's important to me that the Word is established in their way. But the most important thing I do and understand is that I trust not the law that I'm confessing over them, but the grace of God's love, the Father, that I've entered into a relationship with. That I understand that He will release into my life the fullness of all that He is. God's not withholding anything from me. The dispensing of my healing, the dispensing of other needs that I have in my life are at my Father's pleasure. And He releases them as He desires in His perfect will in my life. And I trust Him. There's nobody on the face of this earth in the natural relationships that I have on this earth. There's nobody ever been on the face of this earth that I trusted any more than I did my Father. I would have trusted Him whatever He told me. I would have done whatever He told me and asked of me because I trusted Him. The greatest trust I have in my life today, church, the greatest trust you need in your life today is not just simply confessing the Word. There are a lot of people out there who are confessing the Word, nothing will ever happen. It's simply because they're saying things that are by law and not by grace. But when you take it and you bring it under the rim and under the understanding of God, it's full of grace just as much as He's full of truth. When we bring it under the understanding of God's grace, then it's released in our life. The power of that love that brings the fullness of all those blessings in our life because He's my Father. So when you pray, always pray first, my Father. And make time in your life to listen to what your dad has to say to you. I can take things that my natural dad told me many years ago that have sustained me in areas of my life. There have been words of great wisdom in my life. God the Father has something He needs to say to you. Every day of your life, He wants to speak to you. So sometimes when you get started, shut up for just a minute. Listen to Dad. Listen to Father God and see and hear what He has to say to you above everything else. What He says is more important than what anybody can say to you. To hear what the Father has to say. And then you can realize the fullness of His blessing and power.